Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
9:27, going to Ian McNulty now. We wanted to talk to Leslie Harris, and I got a text from somebody, a friend, saying that she's honest, straightforward, a true servant leader who ran for office to work hard for far less money she made in the private sector, and that is the absolute truth. So kudos to Leslie Harris. Ian McNulty, kudos to who? To you, rather, covering food and dining culture for the Times-Picayune, New Orleans Advocate. How you doing?
I'll take all the crudos and the croutons you want to send my way.
If crudité?
If come along too, that's fine. Yeah, that's right. Bring it on, brother.
All right, here we go. Happy Friday, Tommy. Please ask Ian, we're heading to French Quarter Festival now. What are some of your favorite breakfast places? Thanks, Kathy, on the North Shore.
Okay, so Kathy on the North Shore is headed to the French Quarter.
Yeah, but confused about that. I don't know if she's looking to eat breakfast at the French Quarter Fest or brunch or get breakfast before.
Yeah.
You know what?
Okay,
as a matter of fact, why don't you be the tour guide for Kathy on the North Shore?
Well, she's coming to the French Quarter Fest. So let's head down there first.
Okay.
She lives in the North Shore. She knows where she's going. But I'm glad you brought up French Quarter Fest, because I am coming to you actually fresh from a romp around the food stands there yesterday. But to Kathy's question, I think I'm divining correctly here, I'm on breakfast spots in the French Quarter, headed to French Quarter Fest. French Quarter Fest, the music starts up there around 11, so you could do, you know, there was a time they were calling it the world's biggest jazz brunch, which it is. You know, you can get a run at some of those food booths, to not specifically breakfast brunch dishes, while the music's playing, and it's a pretty wild, fun atmosphere. But if you're looking to start the day earlier down there with some breakfast, just one of the great sleeper hits, I think, of the French Quarter is this longtime place called Croissant d'Or. And it is just, you walk in and you think, am I in the French Quarter? Am I in Paris? And, you know, everything just turns to the sepia tone, this sort of black and white noirish kind of atmosphere, in my mind anyway, with wonderful pastries and coffee and, you know, a great cafe should have good ambiance, and this one has it nailed. And then there's another one in the French Quarter. It's on Decatur Street that I really like. It's called Toast, and Toast has a few locations. There's one in Gentilly. There's one in Gretna now. This is the one they call French Toast because it's in the French Quarter. So that's fun, and just really lovely breakfast and brunch dishes, and a really neat interior with all this cool woodwork, and it's just a good local success story, kind of a mom and pop that's expanded to a few different locations. So if you're headed to the French Quarter looking for a breakfast before the fest, those would be two great picks.
I remember you talked about the Toast in Gretna. Where is that again?
Toast in Gretna, that is on, what do we call that? It was it's just outside of the main kind of downtown area. It's on, it's Hancock Street. That's where it is, Hancock Street. And in fact, it's a beautiful place. I think it used to be a bar room, and they've transformed it. Again, whenever they open up one of these Toast locations, and this is not a chain, it's just a couple outposts from this family-run place. It's Kara Benson, longtime baker. She's at the helm of it. They make great king cakes, by the way. Mm-hmm. They also have Tartine, which, speaking of hidden gems, is this wonderful French cafe. Just wonderful for breakfast, deep uptown. But that's a tangent.
Wait, that's a different one that's coming to Gretna that you wrote about, correct? or not?
Yeah, well, same folks.
Okay.
Same folks, different
but
name.
Different got a restaurant?
Little, different restaurant,
okay.
Yeah, right down the street. Right down the street. Right down Hancock Street. So Hancock Street is going to have two breakfast places from the same folks. Which
that's
is,
all right.
Yeah, they're specialized, you know. One's their kind of mainline restaurant. The other one's a little more specialized with a lot more gluten-free type of stuff. But the one in Gretna on Hancock is beautiful. That's the one that I've been to the most, and it is it just the interior. It feels like you're at a bistro for dinner, but it really is all about breakfast and brunch. And there's even a backyard with a play area for kids and a second bar out there. I mean, these people really know how to do brunch. And you know, sometimes brunch is relegated to the tourists because, you know, Monday through Friday, it's mostly tourists who are getting up out of their hotels and rolling into a boozy brunch, much as the rest of us would like to live that way for vacation. But, you know, a place in Gretna, a place out in Gentilly, you know, these are catering to the locals, but it's really cool to find a place like this, like Toast, that makes that breakfast seem special, even if it's a daytime kind of outing.
So I got to ask you about, for people that maybe have never been or are going back, Ian McNulty's Don't Miss Foods at French Quarter Fest.
Ah, yes. Okay. Thank you. I'm glad you asked that because that is the topic of a couple stories I did this week. It kind of went area by area. The thing about French Quarter Fest that really makes it different from really any other festival you go to is the French Quarter itself, right? It's worked into this neighborhood and along the riverfront, and it's not just one festival. It's all these different stages, and the mood, the vibe, the energy kind of changes with where you go and where the atmosphere is. But the unifying thread are these food booths that are set up in clusters at the different stages, and it really feels like this kind of a street food heaven, right? So if your idea of street food, what is New Orleans street food? The first thing that comes to mind maybe is a snowball or a lucky dog. Here they can change your mind with this like fast grab and go street food kind of feel. You know, the classics, you know, Vaucresson hot sausage po' boys, they're out there. A lot of people know them from Jazz Festival. They've been at French Quarter Fest since day one also, so every year. Miss Linda Green, the Yakiman lady for that Yakiman soup. You know, these are some of the classics. There's actually quite a few vendors out there that are familiar from Jazz Fest that also have become French Quarter Fest regulars. If you're a fan of the Peyton's Catering from Slidell, they make that wonderful combo plate of the crawfish sack, the oyster patty, and the now shrimp beignets. That's a standard at Jazz Fest. They're out at French Quarter Fest too. The Cochon de Lait Po' Boy. These are some of the kind of the top of mind ones. But what I really love about French Quarter Fest is digging into these small neighborhood spots that have scored booths out there and are showing what they can do. And that was my focus of a lot of the eating yesterday. Not all the eating. We had a great shrimp remoulade from Two Jacques. You know, leave it to the second oldest restaurant in New Orleans to make the classic shrimp remoulade into street food, you know, walking along with a little boat and a beer in the other hand, you know, plucking on some cool shrimp remoulade. But then right across from Two Jacques' booth in Jackson Square, we found this place called Nori Guys, which is a pop-up, and that's Nori as in the seaweed wrapper that you find at sushi bars. And they have this like kind of fun modern take on sushi bar standards, I suppose, but anything but standard. We got a fried shrimp sushi taco. So this was fried shrimp over sushi rice in this nori strip that had been fried. So it was crunchy and crispy, but still that kind of briny seaweedy taste. And you fold it over and smash it in your mouth, and it just this burst of flavor. It's really, really tasty. There's Indian street food at another booth over by the Jack's Brewery lot, downtown restaurant called Lufu, which is fantastic for Indian food. They did these kind of chicken filled fried roll ups with this wonderful spicy sauce and a nice curry. There's Haitian food out there now. There's a Haitian restaurant in the Treme called Fritai, and they're making their festival debut. Saw Chef Charlie Pierre out there. If you're a fan of spicy hot dishes, make a beeline to that free Thai booth. It's over by the riverfront, by one of the bigger stages there. Kind of by the aquarium, really, actually, is where it is. It's over by the aquarium along the riverfront. And there's a dish called shrimp tikkas. And tikkas is like this Haitian slaw that goes on a lot of things. It's a garnish. It's kind of like the equivalent of their olive salad, something you spread on stuff. But it's really spicy hot the way they do it at Free Thai. And it just sings with flavor. And they serve it with shrimp and plantain chips. And my mouth was on fire, but in a good way. So if you're a pepperhead like me, you want to check that one out. It goes on and on, Tommy. There's we got Cracklin' with boudin balls yesterday. We stopped. There's a new food area with a whole new stage by Spanish Plaza, which is nice to see that activated. So the Four Seasons Hotel is right above there. The Riverwalk Mall is on the other side. Clean bathrooms there, by the way. Good hat tip there for those of you going to the Spanish Plaza stage. And a cool outlook of the river with the river boats cruising by. And a great booth out there from Addis Nola, which is doing some African cuisine that I thought was just off the chain good, including these meat pies. There's a lot of meat pies at this festival. There's Mrs. Wheat's, which is a festival classic. There's Lazones. They come down from central Louisiana. Excellent, especially when Lazones does their meat pie over these kind of smashed seasoned potatoes with a sauce on it. Fantastic. But the meat pie from Addis Nola was its own creature, just this really good meat to pie ratio, just delicious, bursting with flavor. It's wherever you find yourself at French Quarter Fest, whether you're on the riverfront or in Jackson Square or down the way at the old U.S. Mint, which that's where you're going to find crawfish today, the boiled crawfish stand. You've got all this food at your fingertips. It's just really fun to go around and try different things and kind of spy on people, see what people are taking in these boats and trays away from the different stands and kind of make your menu that way.
It can get kind of crowded and it can be hard to navigate a little bit at times. So people are texting and wanting to know if there are specific areas for specific types of food. Somebody's looking for classic New Orleans French Quarter food. I don't know how they would define that, but I guess something maybe not Haitian or not Indian, not...
Yeah, sure. Well, vin croissant is your...
That's right.
Like I said.
Are they all concentrated in one place or not necessarily?
No, they're really... And you'll find a variety in different areas. And back at Spanish Plaza, which I was talking about, the restaurant Miss River is doing... It doesn't get more classic than this, right? They're doing red beans and rice and muffaladas.
There you go.
And if you know Miss River, this is a very upscale restaurant. It's actually in the Four Seasons Hotel. And quite a lovely luxe restaurant, but they're doing basically a street food stand for the festival, which is right in the backyard. So it makes sense. It's Chef Alon Shaya who runs Miss River. And just a really, really good muffalada coming out of that kitchen that they're cutting into quarters. Plates of red beans and rice. I mean, it's Louisiana comfort food done through an expert kitchen.
So I texted in, going Antoine's tonight for family reunion meal. What should I get?
I'm glad you're going because I have to say Antoine's is always, I always have a soft spot for the history and the ambiance. And I have to say in the last few months, the food has been better than I've had there in a long time.
Really?
And yeah, it really is. They've had a new chef came in around last summer. I got to spend some time with him over Thanksgiving and the holidays, which of course is a big time over there in Antoine's. His name's Mark Quitney. He's been around New Orleans restaurants for a long, long time. And, not transforming Antoine's by any way, shape, or form, which nobody would want, but just, amping things up, focusing things in. Just the emergence of specials there now is a nice thing, so ask your waiter, really ask your waiter, like, what's fresh, what's the chef really excited about now? Don't necessarily just go for, okay, we're at Antoine's, we have to get the Oysters Rockefeller, we have to get the trout almondine, but see what they're actually working with and what they're running out of specials. It's going to be traditional French Creole cooking, but you might be surprised by what they're turning out these days.
I think that is probably my favorite restaurant in the city, all in all.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
If I had to pick one place.
It's a magical place. And to walk you there, and I love doing this, Tommy. I love taking people, like, for the first time to some of these places that in New Orleans we can take for granted. It's this labyrinth of rooms. It's each one of them seeped in history. I mean, this is a restaurant that really does have its own culture. And there's many restaurants like that in New Orleans. But, you know, this one is – it's so large. It's so the history there just is so evocative, and you just think this is never going to happen again. Right. Nobody is ever going to design a restaurant like this. They just wouldn't. Like, no modern chef or restaurant group, I mean, they might make a restaurant of that scale in Las Vegas or some other tourist destination, but it would never feel like that. So, like, these are places that came through the particular history and culture of New Orleans, and they're not going to exist anywhere else. And if they were to go away, nothing like them could emerge to replace them. So, you know, let's value them and treasure them and celebrate them as part of what makes New Orleans unique and what really blows the socks off of visitors, which, again, I don't think we should take for granted.
What you are eating and drinking transcends what you are eating and drinking, if that makes sense.
It's the experience,
yeah,
right?
That's what I'm saying. It's all about what you're eating, what you're taking in transcends what you're eating and drinking. Maybe that'd be a better way to put it. Here we go. Plan on dinner out for my 60th birthday tomorrow. Is there a place that's good for young grandkids to join, or should we not bring them? Thinking Impostados or Station 6. Don't want to go to New Orleans. Any ideas? And three kids would bring that number up to 9.
Sure. That's a big table. So, you know, plan ahead on that. The places you're talking about there are casual enough that the kids that age are, you know, not out of place by any means. But if you're rolling in with a large group like that, definitely call ahead, make a reservation. You don't want a table of, waiting for a table of 9 to be assembled on a special occasion. But you know, if you're looking specifically for Metairie, Impostados is good. Another option around the corner, closer to Vets, is A Tavola, which is a more modern Italian restaurant. It's part of the Lakeside Mall complex here, but it's not in the mall. It's on the outside. They have some nice big tables there. Very family friendly. That could be a good flex for you.
Tim's going to strangle me. Go ahead.
Take it to Kenner at Jed Duz's Market on Williams, down in the river town side of Williams. Fantastic Italian food, very family friendly, very big portion family style dining. Not fancy, but, you know, good place to celebrate with family.
Fun as always. Thank you, Ian. Had a great time. We'll talk to you again next week.
Absolutely great to be with you, Tommy. Thanks.
Laissez-les bon temps rouler this weekend. 9:44, quarter till 10. Traffic now, WWL.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.